She's our ace, our cleanup hitter, and our source for all things crew. She's Brewers reporter Sophia Minert.
He and Brandon Woodruff have obviously set the tone, and everybody else is like, okay, like, next man up. You got to keep it going.
Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Ewald Automotive. Shop the Ewald Automotive Group, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited warranty on all new vehicles. Visit any of their 8 locations today, in-store or online at ewaldautomotive.com. Ewald Automotive, we make it easy. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Enter the Ultimate Baseball Fan Sweepstakes for your chance to win a Zoom call with a Milwaukee baseball alum. Enter at your local Century Food store by May 19th. No purchase necessary.
Your Milwaukee Brewers now 7-3 over their last 10 games. Sophia Minert. Wow.
Sophia, would you like to grade what just happened there?
I'm going to give Jen a pass.
Sophia.
It's a Wednesday morning. I'm giving her a pass.
She's like, it's a Wednesday. What does that mean? It's a Wednesday morning.
I don't know.
She's been getting up very nice.
Yeah, she's been getting up doing the show for like the last 6 to 8 months, however long we've been doing this. It's not like we're brand new to being up in the morning.
God, my brain. All right,
I blame
Sophia.
The Wonder
is Devin Williams back?
He's back, yes. I think the road trip especially, you know, he made 3 appearances. What he told us is the Fernando Tatis at bat in San Diego, it was 3 straight changeups, made him look silly. I mean, it was the changeups that we saw from him last year. And, you know, Tatis went on to be NL Player of the Week with 5 homers against the Dodgers, which was just insane. But I think he said, you know, that at bat, if he had to pick any point where he felt like things really turned around, it was that at bat. And then he was able to go back-to-back against the Cubs, first time he'd been able to do that. So that was kind of the last hurdle he needed to clear. And I think now they feel that he's at a place where he's appropriately built up, just coming off of the shoulder injury and a very, you know, precautionary spring training buildup. I think they feel really comfortable with his stuff and his role, and you'll see him in those high leverage spots like usual.
Sophia, Manny Pena out with a broken toe. That sounds pretty bad for a catcher. Do we know how long he's going to be out, and do they have to replace him if he's going to be out for a considerable amount of time?
They're hoping it won't be a considerable amount of time. It was a kind of small hairline fracture on that big toe on his left foot. Obviously pretty painful, and one of those injuries that's painful enough that it was affecting him just even being able to walk yesterday. So the next couple of days, he's going to just do treatment, stay off his feet as much as possible. But, you know, it's also an injury he could be feeling a lot better. And really, it's an injury that is dependent on his pain tolerance, of how much he's willing to push it and handle just to get that fracture healed. So they do have Luke Maley up. He had been with the team all of spring training, and he had been on the road trips with them as part of the taxi squad. So he's been able to catch bullpens and be around the pitching staff and be present with all of that. So he's up to date with everything that's going on with the pitching staff, which is good. And, you know, Omar Narvaez is just playing so well that Omar will still get the vast majority of the playing time. Then Luke will be there to give him days off when he needs it.
At what point do I become concerned about Keston Hira? At what point is it no longer early and now we need to be concerned?
Yeah. It's been really challenging for Keston. And I think it's hard to find answers, right? Because we've seen him when he's so locked in, and because he's a little bit unorthodox and he's so reliant on his timing, probably more so than the average hitter. You know that when he finds it, he can really drive an offense, and he can carry them, and it can be big damage, right? It can be the 2-3 run homer. It can be the double to the gap. He can do all of that. We've seen it from him. The other part of it is that I was talking to hitting coach Andy Haynes about this is, you know, he still hasn't played a full major league season. He's getting pretty close to that in games played, but it's been over the course of 3 years, right? It's been his debut season, and then a shortened 2020, it's been this year. So it's been almost a full major league season in terms of at-bats and games, but all very kind of choppy. And so, you know, you're also seeing development, right? Because in the minor league, you're able to just out-talent people, right? Like he hit his way through the minor leagues and very quickly in 2 years. And so now you can't out-talent people, right? I mean, the league has every piece of information in terms of what your weaknesses are, how they can expose you. And Keston has to make adjustments to that. And I think that's what we're seeing. You know, we're seeing development happen. And so, yeah, the results have not been there. He has not shown the consistency that we've seen he's capable of. Obviously they need him, you know, and Craig Counsell has said of the hitters in our lineup right now, especially considering the pieces they're missing, you're asking a lot more of guys like Avi Garcia and Keston Hira. They need to get those guys going. You're asking a lot more out of Travis Shaw. So, it's a tough spot. They need him. So they're going to keep putting him out there.
Sophia Minert joining the show here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. All right, Sophia, when I was assigning out the week, I kind of just assumed that today would be a bullpen day, but no, Zach Godley is joining the show. What can you tell us about Godley, who's going to be on the mound today against the Marlins?
Well, Jenna, I think we were all kind of thinking of with your line of thought there. When Brent Suter came into the game last night, we were all kind of like, okay, I guess we'll rule him off of the possibilities. He probably would have been at the top of the list of in-house candidates, right, who could have come out and started today. So when we saw Suter last night, check that off. So, yeah, it was Zach Godley that Craig Counsell announced after the game. And frankly, we didn't really see him because he signed at spring training, and then he was assigned to the alternate site. He was with Boston last year, made 7 or 8 starts for them, had a high earned run average, wasn't a great year for him. His best year was 2018. But he's a guy that has been a starter and a reliever over the course of 4 seasons with a couple of teams. And I talked to Tyrone Taylor after the game last night, once Craig Counsell made the announcement. And Tyrone said he had seen him at the alternate site, said he's just primarily cutter, fast, off-speed as well. So, yeah, it'll be – they'll have to make a roster move. They'll have to add him to the 40-man roster to activate him for today. But, yeah, it'll be good to see him because, again, it's a new guy for a lot of us. We just didn't get to see him at spring training. He was a late addition.
Sophia, big 4-game series coming up against the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have, I think, just dropped 2 to the Reds at home. Is this a measuring stick in the early part of the season to see where this team is at, or is it just another series?
Is both a good answer?
Why not both?
The Dodgers are the class of the National League, right? So, you know, they're the defending World Series champions. I think everybody feels they're still the best team in the National League. It's going to take tremendous pitching to beat them. I mean, their pitching is as deep as anyone. I mean, just even just some of the people that they have in their bullpen are pitchers that could start on any other major league team. And then obviously they have a deep lineup. I mean, it's just, you look at everything that they do and there's no holes. You know, it's hard to pinpoint any weaknesses on the Dodgers. So it is a good test. At the same time, like a 4-game series in April doesn't determine a whole lot, right? Like we've seen the Dodgers a lot in the postseason the last couple of years. Obviously have gone toe-to-toe with them in 2018, saw them in the wild card series last year. So, you know, you'll also get to see them later in the season. You hope you see them in October, right? I think everyone would be thrilled if there was a Brewers-Dodgers matchup at some point in October. So it's going to take a really, really good series to beat them in 4 games. But, I mean, you can learn a lot about your team, too.
Sophia, great to have you on the show. Just before we let you go, do you get into the NFL draft? Are you, like,
not at all. I'll be honest, you guys. I'm probably, like, unpopular opinion here. I'm ready to mute the NFL draft on my timeline. I feel like this has been, it is the most drawn out thing. Like, it might be the most overhyped event. And that's just my personal opinion. Maybe it's because I'm just really locked into the baseball season and that's just not where my head's at. But man, I'm ready for it to be done.
All right. Well, I was going to ask you if you thought the Packers should go cornerback, wide receiver, offensive line, or defensive line, but it would be a total crapshoot at this point. So, Sophia, we appreciate your insight on the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll see you out at the ballpark.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.